sound check. So that's good. Whoa, what a nice crew this morning. Good to see you all. I'm Dennis, one of the elders here, and we're taking turns. It's my turn. So let's pray. Lord, guide us. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for fellowship and the chance to gather together. Thank you for this season that we can dust off ourselves from winter and wake up and stretch and yawn and get out and be more active and enjoy your creation so much. And we praise you. Help us to look to you and acknowledge you as we look at all this in creation, everything that's so beautiful. I ask you to help folks to hear you today as I speak. Help my words to be a prompting to your spirit to speak even more in their hearts and hear from you directly, please. And guide me as I do share, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, starting right with verse 1. And if you're looking in the Bibles at the seats in front of you, it's page 758. So, spring. It finally feels like spring, doesn't it? Finally feels like spring. And I love spring. Fall, I'm really partial to fall because I'm a hunter and fisher and stuff like that. But boy, spring is, it's quite a toss-up for me. I don't know about for you guys. Spring is really, really special. And how do you mark spring personally? How do you mark it? Oh, maybe it used to be smell dipping. That's one of the earliest ones. Oh, it's time to dip smelt. Or maybe we went down to my mom's in April, and it was like a little fast forward in time, looking at the trees. You know, we had nothing hardly happening here. And as we drove farther down state, the more and more tree buds were opening up, and get a little farther down, wow, the wild cherries are even blossoming. And, you know, just like a little time capsule. And then they got more, the leaves were starting to open by the time we got down to my mom's. And I love that progression here. How do you mark it? What do you, like right now, we're on the way here today, and there was one slide showing the trilliums. Wildflowers, spring beauties, all the different flowers that come up. A lot of domestic flowers as well, but... And then how about fruits or vegetables? Or I think of, my wife and I used to pick beefsteak mushrooms. Anybody still pick beefsteak mushrooms? All kinds of warnings now, and people are, oh, no, you shouldn't eat them. So we stopped eating them. But we used to get beefsteak mushrooms, and then the caps would come out, and then the black morels would come out, and then the white morels would come out, and then oyster mushrooms after that, and sulfurs, and on and on and on. And I would mark that progression, be aware of it, and notice that progression in those in those mushrooms. How about vegetables and fruits? What are you looking for in your garden right now? We're picking asparagus. How many of you are getting rhubarb? Are you looking forward to strawberries? You know, those are all things that I think of and we all really enjoy about spring. Well, we're going to talk today about Pentecost. And we're a week late. Kind of like this spring feels to me. We're a week late. But my wife said, you should talk about Pentecost. I was kind of debating what to talk about. I thought it was a good suggestion. So that's what we're going to talk about. And this first chunk of scripture is verses 1 through 4. I'm just going to read them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Pentecost. What in the world is Pentecost, you guys? What is Pentecost? Now, if you've come from a liturgical background, maybe you have more experience with that. Or if you're Jewish, of course, maybe you had more exposure to that. But it's the day after Passover was the Feast of First Fruits. And then they counted 7 weeks of weeks. What would a week of a week be? 7 groups of weeks. 7 would be a week's length. So 7 sevens would be 49 days. And then you go to the next day is 50, right? So if I count 7 weeks from today, it will end on a Saturday. And so that following day is the 50th day. And that's kind of where that comes from. And that first feast of first fruits is called Hibikurim. And that, again, it's kind of mixes up and loses its identity with Passover, because Passover is the big deal, right? Passover happens, and the end of Passover is a Sabbath. And it says the morrow after the Sabbath is when you do this, I'm not going to pronounce it again, this Feast of First Fruits. And it marks the beginning of the barley harvest. That's why I was talking about flowers and mushrooms and all that stuff. It's the beginning of the barley harvest. I don't think of barley being harvested around here, but in the Holy Land, that's the season for harvesting barley. And then 50 days after the Feast of the Harvest, is what that's called, Feast of the Harvest or Pentecost. And it's also called the Feast of Weeks because it was a week of weeks. And now it's called Shavuot. During that first feast, they would offer a wave offering. And it would be a loaf of, or a cake of unleavened bread. And when it came 50 days later, they also had an offering, but that was 2 loaves. And the first loaf was unleavened. The second 2 loaves are not. They are with leaven. And they're commemorating the beginning of the wheat harvest. Okay, so you start out with the barley harvest and you go to the wheat harvest. And we talk about Jesus being the first fruits. Where did I have that scripture? Jesus was called the bread of life, right? And then right after the Passover, his day of resurrection, Easter Sunday. Remember that the Jewish Sabbath is Saturday, so that first feast was on a Sunday, And also, Pentecost is on a Sunday. You mark the seven sevens, ends on a Saturday, and then the following morning would be Sunday morning also. So the first offering was no leaven. That represented Christ. He was the, you know, because leaven is often referred to as sin or the image of sin in Scripture. Jesus was the sinless sacrifice, the sinless person who was raised to life. But then we get to the Feast of Weeks or of Shavuot. That's us, guys. That's our hope of heaven. And that's why we have two loaves, where many of us, and has the leaven in it. Even though we're sinful, we can be have that hope of heaven. The other thing that happened is, as they got looking at calculating, remember, what is Passover commemorating? Do you guys remember what that is? It's talking about when the death angel came over when they were still in Egypt, and that was the last straw for Pharaoh. The firstborn kids were destroyed, and the way to protect from being, have your firstborn killed, was to kill a lamb and have to paint the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of your house. And that's what Passover was reminding them of, that the occasion where God passed over and didn't slay their children. And from that time, then they took off. Remember, they went to the Red Sea and the sea parted. They had the manna and the quail and all these things happened, water from the rock. And then they got to Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. How many days after the Passover was Mount Sinai? 50. 50 days. So they're saying, wow, Pentecost is also the recognition of the, what they're calling, the birth of the Jewish nation. The birth. That is so cool. So that's what they started. They stopped really doing as much celebration for the harvest of the wheat, and they got to more thinking, this is the harvest of the festival of the giving of the law. The giving of the law. Kind of the birthplace of Judaism. But we're talking about now, in the New Testament, this occasion in Acts. Do you remember that Jesus was resurrected on Easter Sunday, and then he was, after he was resurrected, it was quite a while before he ascended into heaven. Do you remember how many days? 40. So this is really close to the same time. 10 days before today's occasion, that's when Jesus was ascended into heaven. And if you look in chapter 1, it talks about they gathered together all the time, and there was like 120 believers, including Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers, and they were always in prayer. They were hanging out together a lot. And this passage talks about they were together in the house, possibly, they don't know, possibly the same place they did the Passover meal, the Last Supper, possibly. It doesn't explicitly say that. And then there was this wind, the sound of this wind that happened. So they're all sitting there, they're hanging out together, and this big wind comes up. I was thinking about occasions of wind myself. When my mom and dad had a little house near Buchanan, and they bought the farm near Cassopolis. And the first day that I went to school, when we moved to Cassopolis, there was a tornado warning. And so I got to meet a couple of kids in my class as we're under the cupboard with the rollaway cart in front of us while this storm goes outside. And it was very frightening as a kid, you know. But this talks about, this is the sound of a wind. The sound. I was working one time at Bay Harbor, and we were working on a condominium, and I looked out to the north towards Harbor Springs, and there were really black clouds, dark clouds, and they went all the way to the water, all the way to the water. And the birds, all the seagulls and stuff, all went whoom. They all went to the ground. I thought, whoa, this something's coming. It kept approaching. And as it got closer and closer, you could see that the wind was rolling up at the front edge of this storm. And it got right to where we were, and it hit like a wall. And the water was leaking in under the sliding glass doors that had a roof overhanging them. But it was really a violent wind. You know, that's what this passage mentions, that it's a violent wind. We were when we were at the farm as I was a kid, I remember my grandparents being there, and we looked off to the south of our farm, and the clouds were very, very dark. And this was 1965, Palm Sunday, 1965. You guys remember what happened down in Indiana? They had a very bad series of tornadoes down there, and the loss of life. I think it was 80-some people killed. Terrible, terrible storm. We could see it from afar, but we didn't hear anything. Years later, my wife and my kids, we went down to Shipshawana, and they've got a little museum there that's the Anabaptist Museum. And I won't go into what Anabaptist, but that's what Amish and Mennonite, and I believe too, are Anabaptist, be baptized after your faith in Christ. But they had a little museum in there, and part of the museum was they talked about you go into this room and it's trying to recreate that tornado. So you get in this room and it vibrates a little bit, and you hear this really strong sounding wind. And I've never been in a tornado, have you guys? And what do you always hear? You always hear it sounds like a freight train. I hear that over and over again, that it sounds like a freight train. Well, that some version, I can't tell you exactly, but some version of a very loud noise like a violent wind is what was going on, so much so that the people outside the house heard it, right? A crowd gathered. What's going on? What's going on? And then they start hearing the people talking. People started talking, and the crazy thing, we can understand them, and we know these guys. You know, they're from Cross Village, or they're from Goodhart. We know these guys. They're not smart, particularly smart. They're not well versed in languages, you know. And so that was really amazing to them. What in the world does this mean? And you know, the scoffers, they're just drunk. You know, they're saying that, but. And they had these tongues of fire that appeared and separated, and like each person had a little fire over their head, it sounds to me like. And I was thinking of other occasions in Scripture. It talks about fire kind of things like that, like Moses going to the burning bush. You know, the bush is on fire, but it's not burning up, just on fire. Or places in Scripture where God, they followed the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke, and some other occasions where it's not uncommon that God would use that as an illustration. Kind of like, too, when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, remember, he's talking about that wind, backtrack to the wind. In verse 3:8 of the book of John, it says, "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." What happened at the Tower of Babel? Tower of Babel. Oh yeah, that's back in the Old Testament. Oh, I remember. These guys all got together and they're gonna build a tower. Who needs God? We'll get close to God ourselves. We'll build this tower. And God thwarted their efforts by saying, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm going to change your languages so you guys have a hard time understanding each other." Oh, this is kind of the remedy or the reverse of that, isn't it? When everybody else say, "Hey, We can understand what they're saying. We're from all over the place, and we can understand what they're saying. Something's going on here. Something's going on. Well, let's read on. Starting in verse 14. Yeah, you got the same one up there. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says, they're not drunk. This is prophecy being fulfilled. And I look at that and I say, well, at least in part. Because some of that sounds like the very last days also, doesn't it? It sounds like the second coming of our Lord, parts of that. And he says, fellow Israelites, in verse 22, listen to this. Well, I'm moving on. I surprised myself. Yeah, there you go. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. Jesus did a lot of miracles. And then they nailed him to the cross, and he rose again. Verse 25, I'm going to keep reading. David said to him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. That's from Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11, that he's quoting there. And that's the hope of heaven. And that's about Jesus in particular, too. But that's David saying this. I saw the Lord. I saw him resurrected. I'm going to keep reading. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he would not abandon to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see here today, what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who will who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call, Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. That's a lot of reading there, but David's prophesying. He was prophesying about Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And he mentions there that we are witnesses. He and the apostles that were with him. Remember, I mentioned earlier that it had been 40 days since Jesus was raised until he ascended. They hung out together. He talked to, you know, at one time, they said he spoke to 400 people at one time, Jesus did, after already being crucified. He spoke to these guys, and they were witnesses to it, and they're saying, yes, yes, he did rise from the grave. And in verse 37, the people, you know, they're cut to the heart, and they said, "What shall we do?" You ever felt that? "Man, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm from a people of unclean people." Have you ever felt that way? "Man, I am really blown." I still feel that on occasion, don't you? On occasion, when I've been blowing it, I feel it. I know it. I get convicted. And that's what this crowd was saying. And his response was, "Repent and be baptized. And the promise is for you, but not just you guys, your kids and generations following. That's the promise." And about 3,000 came to the Lord that day. That's a lot of folks. That's a lot. What's the population of Harvest Springs other than 4th of July? I don't know. It's less than that. I think it's less than that. We probably have, I don't even know. Gary Bob might know. I don't know. But 3,000 is a large number. It's a large number of people all coming to the Lord. Can you imagine the scene there, you know? When I was doing some studying for Jim and Rhoda to get baptized, and wondering, is it okay to pour? Is it only good to immerse and talk? And one of the sources I looked up, they were saying, well, at that occasion, they didn't have all that much water available in Jerusalem to have everybody get in a pool. And well, that's one theory. It's a theory. But anyway, the point was that it's a whole lot of people that came to the Lord at that time. And this was really amazing. And, you know, I got thinking about this whole story of Pentecost. And isn't that interesting that they were celebrating the giving of the season of the giving of the law on Pentecost? And then the Holy Spirit comes. And now that's like the birthday of Christianity. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to us. You know, Jesus, we're with these disciples for 3 years plus, you know, and they were learning all this stuff, but it really didn't take full hold until this occasion. So it's not only the birthday of Judaism, it's the birthday of Christianity. Very cool. Very cool, I thought. You know, that's a good thing to be remembering that God did that. And does do that. What a nice, as I was looking forward to summer a while back and being anxious for spring to get here and stuff. And we did do a couple of, maybe three or four baptisms last summer. Wouldn't this be a nice time to get baptized? Wouldn't this be a good time to say, God, I want to receive you. I want to receive you. I want to take you into my heart. I get it, you know, that we've done bad stuff, that I'm not perfect. I'm not as holy as you, God, but I want to be with you, and that requires that I be made clean. And you're offering that. You're a free gift. Can I do that? Yes. Yes. And in response to that, if I get to that point and I say, yes, Jesus, I'll be with you. I'll do what you said. I'll follow you. I'll let you be my Lord. Sounds like I'm being condescending. I'll let you be my Lord. I'll follow you as Lord. I should say that. And in response to that, what's the directive? Be baptized. It's not a rule, not a law. I don't believe that you are saved through baptism, but it is a really important step of obedience to say, hey, are you going to tell other people, I'm a Christian, but I don't like to tell you guys. I'm kind of embarrassed. Or do you say, yes, I'm a Christian. It may cost me. I may lose some friends. And that's part of what baptism is you're going in front of the community and you're saying, count me in. I submit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we believe that you are filled with the Holy Spirit when you receive Christ. Right? When you receive Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen to that. So wouldn't this be a great season? A great time. Let's look outside the weather right now. Maybe the lake's a little cool. It might be a little cool. But the season is warming. It's warming. And this would be a great time, if you've received Christ, to say, I want to make that public declaration. Maybe I was baptized as an infant. I was. But can I recall that? Was I aware of that? No. We don't require that people be baptized over and over and over again. And yet, with the idea of repent and then baptized, it's a natural following. So if you receive Christ as an adult, old enough to get it, then it's good to follow up with a baptism. So I invite you, as one of the elders here, to get a hold of me or Gary or Keith and say, you know what? I did this a long time ago, maybe. Maybe I received Christ years ago and I never followed up on it much. Or maybe you say, what in the world are you even talking about with Christ? This is interesting to me. I'm curious. I'm sensing something here. Can we talk more? Come and talk. Or maybe I get it right now, and I do want to say yes to you, Lord. Now's the time. That's what you can do. You can say, yes, God, please receive me. I accept your offer. So that's available to us right now. Right now. In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. It's a great time. Join me in prayer as we close. Lord, I thank you for this season. I thank you that we have lots of illustrations of how time passes, how seasons of our own life, seasons of our lifespan, And maybe we don't have a lot of time. We always kind of assume that we do, but maybe we don't. And sometimes I sense an urgency. And Lord, I just ask that you would create an urgency to follow you. Lord, guide us as we continue this last song and finish this service today. But help us to tune in to you. Help us to hear your still small voice. Or maybe that rushing wind, but to hear and acknowledge that you're trying to get through to us. You love us. You care for us. You want fellowship with us. Help us to respond in Jesus' name. Amen.